Hello, everyone.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Are you there, Ryan?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Hope everyone's having a good Thursday.
Yeah, actually, not too bad. How about yours?
It's been awesome. Been pretty good.
This is Lisa, right?
This is Lisa, yes. This is she.
Right.
And this is the other Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
So
hello, guys.
Is that Sophia?
Yes, it is.
Hey, I wasn't sure. I saw your message about running late, so.
Yeah, no, I made it home on time to let my dogs out to go potty, and so, yeah, I was able to jump on. Whew.
Okay, all right. So we were going to do something a little different tonight, but why don't we go ahead and open up with prayer. And do I have anybody on the call that wants to open with a prayer? Or if not, then I think, Sophia, you were going to do that? Because
I
asked you about one of
your.
Did you have that? Okay.
I have. So I just felt led in my spirit, you know, just within the last couple of days and more heavily today, just to talk about forgiveness, just really forgiveness. Truly, truly forgive from the heart. So the prayer that I'm opening up with is letting go of resentment and bitterness prayer. So Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, life seems so unjust, so unfair. The pain of rejection is almost more than we can bear. Our past relationships have ended in strife, anger, rejection, resentment, and bitterness. Father, help us to let go of all bitterness and resentment. You are the one who binds up and heals the brokenhearted. We receive your anointing that breaks and destroys every yoke of bondage. We receive emotional healing by faith according to your word, as it says in Isaiah 53:5. And with his stripes, we are healed. I thank you for forgiving us the grace to stand firm until the process is complete. Thank you for our wise counselor. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit as our wonderful counselor. Thank you for helping us work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is you, Father, who works in us to will and to act according to your good purpose. In the name of Jesus, we choose to forgive those who have wronged us. We choose to live a life of forgiveness because you have forgiven us. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we get rid of all resentment, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. We desire to be kind and passionate to one another, forgiving them just as in Christ you forgave us. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, for we know that without holiness, no one else will see you. We choose to see it that we do not miss your grace and that no roots of resentment or bitterness grow up within us to cause trouble. We will watch and pray that we will not enter into temptation or cause others to stumble. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you watch over your word to perform it, and that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We declare that we have overcome resentment and bitterness by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the word of our testimony. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
So I'm not sure if we're actually recording tonight. Did you hear the recording start, Sophia?
I haven't heard it, no.
Okay. So Chris may not be joining us this evening, and he's normally who sets up the recording. He sent us the information, but I don't think it's working for me. So with that said, but we still would like to honor and respect spouses, and as we always announce, that we would not use their names, and that you also may only want to use your first name if you have to use a name at all. Let's see here. There was something else I needed to announce, and I don't remember what it is. But, oh, yeah, if you're not talking, if you can go on mute, sometimes we get distracted with things going on in the background or family or whoever coming in. So if you're not speaking, if you can just please be so kind as to mute your phone. And with that said, we'll go ahead and get started tonight. We actually wanted to continue a little bit with spiritual warfare. We spoke last week on faith, which is the shield of faith, and we also talked about the sword of the Spirit. So before we jump into all of that, we typically ask for questions at the end of the call, but tonight we thought we'd go ahead and ask for questions at the beginning of the call, and while we're speaking, we'll see if we can answer the questions. If not, then we'll look to try to get answers for those questions when we meet again. So does anyone have a question or even a praise report or testimony that you want to share before we get, you know, at this right now?
This is Robin. I do have a question that you may or may not can answer.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. When I was reading the website and going through everything, I want to make sure that I'm understanding what they mean about a covenant marriage. So the covenant marriage, does that mean that that's your first marriage?
There's a scripture in the Bible, and it referred to something regarding the covenant. In the word, it did not say whether it was the first or the second or the third, but RMM teaches that the first marriage is the covenant marriage.
Okay. So let
That's
me.
RMM's teaching.
Okay. Well, so that brings up another question. So me and my husband are separated, and this is my first marriage to him, and hopefully, you know, my only marriage, but this is my first marriage. This is his second marriage, but his first wife was married previously before him. So I guess what my question is, and I know because it's been a couple of, I've kind of questioned their relationship, and I often wondered if they were possibly working on maybe reconnecting or anything. And with if we go up under the guise that her first marriage would be her covenant marriage, then would that make their marriage null and void, per se, as far as covenant? And would technically his covenant marriage be with me since she was already married prior to him and that person didn't die, so it wasn't like, you know, they died, so that released her from that marriage? You understand what I'm asking?
You know, I do understand what you're asking.
Okay.
I understand completely what you're asking. And that is a really touchy subject. So I don't even know that I want to give my opinion, but I will give one scripture that I am reminded of. And the word says that God will do the judging on the adulterer and the whoremonger. And if you want me to, I can find that scripture for you. It is not our place to judge whether a marriage is considered as a covenant marriage or a non-marriage. Legally, they were married. But I don't really want to touch that and judge that, because the judgment that I give on somebody else could come back and be the judgment that is placed on me. I just know God said in his word that he will judge. And somebody else may have something different that they want to answer with, but let me give you the scripture that I'm talking about now. Okay, I think it's Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 4. Let me double-check that. And while I'm looking this up, if someone else has something from the scriptures that you want to share, this is definitely a good time to do so.
It is, Lisa. It's Hebrews 13:4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral.
Okay.
It's the NIV version.
Okay. So I know that's not, I'm not going to give a definitive on that, at least not right now. But, yeah, I know what RMM teaches. I know what some other ministries teach. So I would say that's something, yeah, that's about as far as I want to take it at this point.
Okay, thank you for the scripture.
But let me say this. That doesn't mean that your marriage to your husband is non-existent or not seen by God. So, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean that your marriage is not honored.
Now, I'm going to continue to stand, but when I was reading the website, I know they were very direct with answering that question when several people had questions. Oh, well, you know, my spouse divorced me and they remarried, and, you know, RPPM was very direct with saying, no, that's a covenant marriage. But I wondered with, you know, like I said, with him being married before, but his first wife had been married before him. So it just made me wonder, like, technically, was her covenant marriage her first marriage? Because they have a child together, and I didn't know. I've been kind of questioning their relationship, because we haven't been married that long. But I always questioned that relationship. And I didn't want to be, you know, standing for a person if there was another person standing for him that kind of had rights over me. You understand? But until then, I'm just going to stand and let God, you know, lead me on what
direct
I need to
you.
Do.
Exactly. Right. And that's the only thing that really I can say is, and I agree with Lisa, I'm not one to judge. and seek the Lord. The Lord will tell you what he wants you to do. And his word is the one that you stand on. So, and he will give you confirmation whether you, you know, if you stand or not. So that's the only thing that, that I can tell you is to continue, you know, seek the Lord, and he will tell you. He will lead you.
Amen.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, Sophia, I know we were going to start with you tonight and let you kind of and I want to give a praise report before Sophia starts. I'm not going to give the details of it because God hasn't released me to give it, but I will say this, that there has been a major breakthrough in my stand or journey, if you will, for the restoration of my marriage. And that breakthrough came with falling in love with Jesus. And I was going to sing that tonight, but I thought I'd go ahead and spare you all. But
you have a very beautiful voice.
But I decided that, and I'm going to talk about this at some point, especially to the women and to the men also. We talk about how we have to let go, but we all know that falling in love is a, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, truly falling in love, you go through something with your partner. There's people that you can fall into lust overnight, but when you talk about that deep commitment, that intimacy with your partner, I believe anybody that's been called to stand, that's what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to fall in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And on the day that I started falling in love, that was the song that God placed in my heart. So it just simply says, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. In his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected. There's no other place I'd rather be. And I started singing that song on Wednesday. And through the process, there was another song. I didn't even know it was a song. I was in a training session. And I hit the button, the play button, and I thought I was going to get a lecture. But instead, the song started playing, and the song that started playing was At Last by, I think her name is Etta James, a really old song. I started boo-hooing because that was the song that was played at my wedding. But I wasn't crying because I was missing my husband or anything like that. I started crying because I felt such a deep connection with Jesus. It was just like God had taken me on to be his bride. That's how, and I was just crying and crying. I felt the love of God so intensely. And that was Wednesday and Thursday. I was still singing. And by Friday, we had a new love song. We started singing Jesus is the Center of My Joy. And on Saturday is when I got word of the breakthrough. So when we're praying, we may not see the breakthrough on the day that we're praying for it, but keep in mind, God is working in the background, and he knew the time. This is what blew my mind. He knew the time that I would truly start to fall in love with him, and that's when he revealed that I've been working in the background, Lisa, and here's the answer to your prayer. I was just waiting on you. So I wish I could give more details and tell you exactly what happened. But when we start drawing closer into God, that's when we really start to hear from him, and he truly has not released me yet to speak the details of this part of the journey. So I did want to give that little bit of a praise report.
That's
glory
awesome.
To God.
I have a praise report.
All right. Go right ahead.
I've been standing for 15, 16 months now. And, of course, it's tough on us all, definitely. I have an aunt that I'm quite close to, and I've talked to her quite a bit about my stand, and she really doesn't have that understanding because she takes a world view of marriage and divorce pretty much. But, you know, after several months of talking to her about God and, you know, how God strengthens us and so on and so forth, you know, how he's so faithful. And I don't know, I think it was a few weeks back, maybe a month ago, she had said to me that I've been a real blessing in her life because now she wants to have what I have.
Amen.
And I asked her, what do you mean by that? And she says, well, I want the kind of relationship you have with God. And I was just started bawling, like I was crying. Now one more story to follow up about, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, my brother, who's pretty hard, he's a pretty hard guy, he phoned me up on a Sunday about 2 weeks ago, and he just started asking me questions about God, like, you know, and Jesus and salvation and things like that. And, you know, we spoke for 4 hours on the phone, and I asked him at the end of it all, I said, why are you so curious about this? And he says, because I know you've been a believer for a long time, and there's something in me that wants what you have.
Wow.
And I was just, you know what, I was just praising Jesus, you know, it's all for his glory,
yes.
You know.
Amen.
So I'm pretty happy, you know, for having rough days, you know, I took real notice to what God is doing in my aunt and my brother. So I'm pretty happy for that.
Praise Amen. God. Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing. Does anybody else? I don't want to cut anybody off. The word says, like, let your light so shine before men. They see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what you just did.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Robin, I want to give you one other scripture, and then I'm going to also give you my phone number. And if you want to talk a little bit more, we can certainly do that. Malachi 2:14. But you say, why does he not? Okay, I'm not reading this right, probably because I don't like this particular version. So let me get a better version. I'm a King James Version kind of person. I know that can be a little hard for some people, but this other stuff I can't get with. So Malachi 2 and verse 14 says, yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. That's where they get the covenant marriage from. But the word, the covenant at that time, you had to have bloodshed in order for there to be a covenant in the Bible days. That they considered when a man went into his virgin and there was blood, and then that was considered, that they were considered married, and that was a covenant there. And that's why it says the wife of your youth and that of the covenant. Now, we're all adults on this call. I will be the first to say there are very few marriages today where you have a man marrying a virgin. Unfortunately, it happens. I'm not going to say it doesn't happen. I know some people like that, but they're few and far apart. So if we really want to get down to the wife of your covenant, that might just be the first person that you slept with. But that's a whole nother ball of wax there, because that's where he says he won't judge the whoremonger and the adulterer. So I'm sure we didn't just stop with that first person, but we went on and slept with somebody else. So that's why I say this is a big ball of wax that I prefer to just kind of leave it alone. But I will have a conversation with you one-on-one if you want to talk to me. My number is 703-508-7976, and my name is Lisa. And with that said, Sophia, 703-7976. And we can talk in detail, and we can break bread together, and, you know, just kind of, but that we can do that. All right, Sophia, I'm going to give it over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. So, like I said earlier when I opened up with prayer, with a lot of the posts that I've been seeing on the prayer wall, and I did end up reaching out to somebody who was going through a similar situation that I was going through just last week for a few days. And I'll share with you guys, you know, I just had a lot of anger. I was just angry. And, you know, a lot of times, of course, the enemy will allow, you know, past memories to come into mind. And, of course, if you open up that door, that anger starts festering. And, you know, we just have to really root it out. Root it out from the heart. And I was reading, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with this parable, the parable of the unmerciful servants. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it. And, you know, I really pray that the Lord give us the ears to really hear what he is saying in this parable. So with that being said, I'll read it. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. The master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." And this was something that I read that just really, it really opened my eyes and it really hit home to me. And when I read this, you know, I had to repent and really, really forgive from the heart. And I really felt that heaviness from me lift. How can you imagine forgiving others 70 times? 70 times 7 times, a seemingly an infinite number, because we don't want the Father to discipline us by turning us over to the torture until we do. There are always real and painful consequences to our unforgiveness. If we think our unforgiveness can be pushed down, hidden, stored away without effect, we are terribly wrong. Its presence delivers us to suffering, and it will never be broken until our hearts open in genuine and complete forgiveness. When we fail to forgive others and ourselves, God takes away the protection of his peace in our hearts. The implications of that vary widely depending on our circumstances, but are always negative. He does that because he loves us and wants our good more than he wants our comfort. Many people resist the idea of God making a link between the sin of unforgiveness and our suffering. After all, how could a loving father allow torment for his beloved children? First, this is an issue of discipline, not punishment. He is teaching us, even if it initially seems harsh, that our suffering arises from our unforgiveness. He is doing this to motivate and train us to be like him, a forgiver. Second, he has provided a path of escape from all torment caused by our unforgiveness. Unlike punishment, which only ends when the punisher decides that you have suffered enough, the suffering brought by our, by our unforgiveness can end immediately as soon as we, the unforgiver, have learned to model our character after God's giving nature, releasing all of the trespasses of others from our hearts. Jesus' parable shows that the issue of forgiveness is not what another person did to you, but what God will do to you if you don't forgive them. The choice to be disciplined or not to be disciplined is ours to make, all based upon whether we are willing to turn and offer others the radical love and forgiveness that our King has offered to us. This is God's radical revelation. Forgive others so you won't have to go the painful discipline, for you won't have to undergo the painful discipline. Forgive others and yourself so you can live in freedom, joy, and peace. God does not desire to make us suffer, nor does he take pleasure in watching us suffer. Quite the opposite. It pains him too, but from his love for us, he is willing to place us into the hands of torturers, not because he wants us to suffer, but because he wants us to forgive. So this was really an eye-opener for me, and I shared this with somebody else on RMM who I just really felt led to share it with her, and she also just felt like the Holy Spirit speaking to her heart, and she told me herself that she printed this out, and she will be placing this in her mirror so that she can see this every time that pain wants to try to creep back in, or those, you know, that those little thoughts, like, no, like, I forgive. I choose to forgive from the heart because you want to live in that freedom, that joy, that peace. You don't want to be tormented. So I'm hoping that, you know, I really hope and pray that this can help somebody on here today and just really look to our Father to heal us completely, make us whole, and stop looking at what your spouse or just anybody else in general in your life, stop looking at what they're doing, because the more you focus on them, you know, you're hurting yourself. So just forgive, really forgive from the heart. So I pray that this blesses somebody today, and Lisa, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Wow, thanks, Sophia. That was pretty good. Sophia, did you also have the piece on prayer that you wanted to share last week? I know Chris did share a little bit with us, but I'm learning it doesn't matter if we kind of repeat a lesson.
Let me pull it up. If you want to follow up with yours right now, and then I'm going to pull mine up for what I had last week.
Okay.
And then we can kind of go from there.
Okay, that sounds good. So last week we talked about faith and the Word of God, and I have two things more that I wanted to share tonight. And one of them was the word faith. I heard a pastor preach, and he shared this mnemonic that I wanted to share with you all, because I thought it was so befitting. But the word faith, if you think of it, say fighting against impossibilities through hope. And if you think about the definition of faith from the word, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when he says fighting against impossibilities, you know, all the thoughts, all the words that people say, and the word fighting instantly made me think about the weapons of our warfare and the pulling down of strongholds. So fighting against impossibilities through hope. And the word says hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But we have to still believe. So that's why I talked about your rhema word. What brought you to the place of saying that I am standing for my marriage to be restored? What was your rhema word? From the Word of God? And even if it came from some individual or something, I've had people say to me before, so-and-so said that I'm to stand for my marriage. But if that word doesn't become alive in you, your struggle becomes even more difficult. So we talked last week about that shield of faith. And Chris had shared with me, kind of gave me another imagery, and that is, think about movies like Star Wars, or I can't even think of some of these other ones, some of these action movies, a lot of action films out right now with Endgames and all of the old movies like that. You all can have to help me out with that. I'm thinking about, you remember the outer space show that used to come on with Kirk, Captain Kirk? Does anybody remember that? Captain James Kirk? What was that show called?
Star Trek,
that's it. That's how old I am. I'm dating myself right now. But I used to always watch Star Trek with my mother, and they would have, like, this shield that came up around them. Of course, now we think about a sword and a shield. But your shield is, think of your shield, like in Star Trek, if you will, and that shield is kind of forming. It's being developed. The more trials you go through, and the more you depend on God, and then he answers, it's like your faith, that shield gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger, and it gets to the point where it just really encamps you. That's one of the imageries that I kind of wanted you to think about. And when your faith is like that, it makes it almost impossible for those fiery darts to get through. But even when you're in that particular situation, you might have to come out of your bubble for some reason. Who knows what that might be? Somebody might say something or what have you. And that's when we have to deal with putting up our word. And that's when I say we need that rhema word to keep us going strong. And I was sharing with Chris and Sophia, sometimes or oftentimes we only think about faith from the perspective of spiritual, God, the good stuff. But do you not know that your spouse also has faith? They have belief that what they're doing is right. And that belief is so strong for them. So you have your faith built on the word of God fighting against their faith built on lies from the enemy. So picture a battleground with, unfortunately, your spouse on one side being manipulated by the words of the enemy, and you on the other side holding up, and you both got your faith. And he's saying, or she's saying, I don't love you, I never have loved you. That's what they believe to be their truth. And then you're saying on the other end, God put us together, I'm your spouse, you know, that's your truth. And so what I thought about in that was that there's only one truth. He says, let God be true, and let all men be liars. So as long as you continue to hold on to God's word, not hold on to your spouse, let them go. Let them go. If we hold on to them, it makes them run even further to their truth. Have you noticed that if someone tries to tear you down or tell you that what you're believing in is not true, you hold on to it even more? It might hurt, but you will still hold on to your truth even the more. But if someone kind of lets it go and says, hey, you know, let you think for yourself and kind of figure things out, then you don't press or hold on to it as much as someone in the other situation. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it's kind of a carry-on from last week. This is a battle against the truth of righteousness, the truth of salvation, the truth of God's word, against the truth, or I should say the lies of the enemy that are believed to be their truth. So I didn't really have a whole lot. I just wanted to kind of throw out that tonight, faith, fighting against impossibilities through hope. That's what I want us to remember, fighting against impossibilities through hope. And so remember, this is a spiritual battle. I also wanted to share a couple of little nuggets, and you can maybe believe this or not believe it, but to those who are divorced, I am divorced. I read and I kind of saw this to be the case, and if you have a differing opinion, that's fine. But when I told my spouse that I was standing for the marriage to be restored, it made him even more angry and made him, you know, more hostile towards me. He did everything he could to fight against me. But when I stopped saying that I was standing for the marriage to be restored and started showing him that I was letting him go, that's when I really begin to see the things moving more in my favor. So I wanted to just kind of share that a little bit. I've been told that we're supposed to say, I'm standing for the marriage, and I don't know if that's always a good idea or not. But you'll have to pray and ask God to lead you in that direction as to whether or not that's something you should be doing. So that's really all I had for tonight. Sophia, I don't know if you had enough time to try to find what you wanted to find on prayer. If not,
we'll see if there's any more questions. You found it? Okay, great. Go ahead.
I did, yeah. So I know we've gotten questions about, you know, individuals who are just starting in their stand, and they've asked, you know, I don't know if I'm praying right or how to pray. So with that being said, you know, before we pray, and, you know, I want to open up with the Bible verse, Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, again, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And I'm kind of going to read a little bit. It says, prayer is not a presentation. Prayer is our access to God. The power of prayer is the most powerful tool that we as Christians have. But whether it's because we don't know how or because we're intimidated, we don't use prayer often enough. Luckily for us, Jesus gave us the greatest example of how to pray in our daily lives. Though powerful in and of itself, the Lord's Prayer is not just a prayer, it's a model on how to pray. Throughout, you know, this is a devotional that I read. It's actually like a Bible study. It's like it was about 7 days. And so throughout this devotional, we'll look at the Lord's Prayer and break it down as our model for engaging with heaven. And, of course, I'm sure, you know, in Matthew 6:9-13, you guys are all familiar with the Lord's Prayer. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have to forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And let's keep going. And it said, our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Says our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Prayer is not about you. Prayer is all about God. Understanding that, we should begin with praise. Just as Jesus did by telling God he is holy, praise is the correct posture of prayer, and it sets the atmosphere for prayer. Praise says to God, you are the Father, and I am your child. You are my creator, and I'm the creation. I'm the sinner, and you're my Savior. You are holy. Opening prayer with praise puts us in a position of humility to seek God. And then we'll go. And I have some Bible scriptures, too, you know, that will also confirm this. And it's often, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oftentimes we approach God and tell him our needs and our desires. We pray for our kingdom and plans to come to pass. However, Jesus teaches us to seek his kingdom over ours. God's purposes is higher than our purpose. He is a good father who wants to give you an abundant life. Instead of praying for your own will, pray to get God's will for you. God will bring his kingdom through us, not because of us. We must first have a desire to see God's kingdom come and then partner in seeing it happen. Are you willing to lay down your will for the perfect will of God? And give us this day our daily bread. Have you ever prayed to find your lost car keys or prayed for a parking spot at the mall during Christmas season? Sometimes we feel funny praying about the small things, but God cares about the little things. In fact, he wants to hear about every aspect of your life. You are never a bother to God. He wants to be involved in your family life, work life, your big and small decisions. God doesn't only care about your future. He cares about your today. And we'll go on to the next. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have an everyday need for God's grace, both for ourselves and for others. Forgiveness from God is predicated on our ability to forgive. This is the only part of the Lord's Prayer where Jesus attaches an action saying, you can pray for forgiveness, but make sure you are forgiving others. God is a big God who has a big future for you, but you need to let go of the small grudges and hurt to walk into that future. When you release someone else, you release God to bring release in you. And it's like Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And again, Mark 11:25. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The enemy may come to steal, kill, not may, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God is our greatest defender and our fierce protector. When we surrender our lives to God, he covers and protects us from attacks of the enemy. Ask yourself, what do I need freedom from? Maybe you need freedom from depression or gossip or generational curses that you've carried. But once you lift up your life to God, he hears you and says, watch what I'm about to do. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Psalms 91:1-4, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, and my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. For his kingdom is the kingdom of the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus models prayer in both simplicity and power. Simple prayers cause big change, and our access to the power of God is acquired through prayer. Since this model of prayer is straight from God, we encourage you to incorporate it into your daily life. So here's a challenge. Make a decision to be consistent in your prayer life. To help you do that, and there's an app called Awakening, and it just kind of gives you, it helps you with, you know, like certain things, specific things that you can pray for every day, and it kind of alerts you and stuff. But so I hope this, you know, I don't know if somebody's new on this call and they're new to their stand or they've had questions of how to pray. I hope this, you know, blesses somebody today as well. So that's all I have for tonight.
Amen. That was awesome. There was one thing, and
we kind of gloss over it in our prayers, and that is, let thy will be done. And as you were talking tonight, Sophia, I thought about Jesus before he went to the cross. And he talked about, Jesus prayed and asked the Father, you know, to take this cup from him. He didn't want to go to the cross. He knew the suffering that was going to take place at the cross. And he prayed earnestly from his heart. But at the very end, he said, but not my will, but thy will be done. And I thought about that this week. And so I went to the Father. Before I share this part, my 10-year-old has a way of getting me to open my – God uses her to help me see some things. And she used to pray for a whole family. That was her prayer. And then she started changing it to, let his will be done. God, let your will be done. And she would say that every night at her prayer. And I started thinking she doesn't believe anymore. But what I learned was that she had already prayed earnestly for a whole family. And God, she got to the place where she could say, well, this is my desire, God, but nevertheless, let thy will be done. And I started changing my prayer. I have prayed now for quite some time that God would give him a clean heart and renew a right spirit, or that God would give him a heart of flesh and remove the stony heart, that he would, you know, keep the commandments. And I've been praying now for some time that God would give me favor with him once again. And so at this point now, I can earnestly say, but Father, you know this is my desire, but not my will. Let thy will be done. And that just takes everything else, you know, because I know James says we have not because we ask not, but then we ask amiss. And so God, I've given all of those prayers to him. I've given him the desires of my heart. But at this point, not my will, Lord, but let thy will be done. And when you say that and when you pray that and it comes from your heart, you can walk away from your prayer with such peace, knowing that whatever is going forth, it is the will of God. If he chooses for me to suffer today, what makes me any better than Jesus? That is his will for me to suffer today, because it's through that molding that he's making me into the person that he wants me to be for his kingdom. He's building up the kingdom of God within me. So it doesn't matter anymore about what my husband may or may not be doing. What matters is that, am I doing the will of God? Am I in his perfect will? Am I in his permissive will? That's what matters, not whether he comes home tonight or tomorrow or never. Yes, God knows that's my desire, but not my will, Lord. Let thy will be done. I wanted to share that with you all tonight. I know Chris normally can go on for quite some time and give us lots and lots of scripture. This is all that Sophia and I have for you tonight. If anybody has anything else they would like to share, feel free to do so at this time. We don't usually have extra time, but if you have something you want to share, the floor is open.
I have a question.
Okay.
Sure. No. I know the Bible tells us to forgive, but how? How do you do it? Like, how do you forgive? I mean, it just says forgive, but I don't know. I don't see, like, specific steps, or maybe I'm missing it. So how do you forgive?
I can share how I forgave, and I'm sure Sophia has some pieces on how she forgave. But for me, it was everything begins and ends with God. I remember praying and asking the Lord, if he would say I'm sorry, I would forgive him. And God spoke so clearly to my spirit that day, and he said, but I forgave you before you repented, before you ask for forgiveness. And when I heard that in my spirit, it brought about a place of compassion. So when we start to think about the other person and say, I forgive them,
think about our own sins and, mm-hmm. and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Because, see, none of us are righteous on our own. No, not one. So it started with me and understanding that God has to forgive me of all of my sins, all the little lies that I've told, all the little dirt that I've done that nobody knows about. And I'll go to my grave before I share it with anybody, but Jesus knows. And so when I had to lay my sins at the feet of Jesus and receive his forgiveness, and remember when he went to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So in your heart, that's why we play, give me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Mm-hmm. You yourself, your heart has to be clean first, and God works on you first. And then you can start to say, God, I forgive so-and-so. Help me to forgive them. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's a spirit. It's a spirit of forgiveness. So every time you start to remember something that that individual said or did to me, mm-hmm. I would say, Father, forgive me, and then I forgive them. Because the word, so the prayer that Sophia just did says, if I don't forgive him, God won't forgive me. So I always place myself there first, and now God has given me that spirit of compassion. And if you find that you're still angry with the individual or you're still carrying around hurt, then that's when you say, God, give me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And you keep praying it. At some point, that thing is going to click. Mm-hmm. It's going to click. And, you know, if you have to say it every time you have that thought, or you feel a feeling of hurt, or you feel a feeling of anger or sadness, God, I forgive so-and-so. Father, forgive me. Mm-hmm. That's my take. I know, Sophia, you have
No, something. I mean, you just basically said everything that, you know, I wanted to, that I was going to say. When
I'm sorry.
You know, no, it's okay. It's a process, you know. Yes. It can happen overnight, you know, but, you know, it's a process. For me, you know, God really had to work on my heart, because I wanted to hold on to that hurt because I felt justified, like, I'm the victim, like, you know, that victim mentality, I'm the one that's hurt. But, you know, by wanting to hold on to that, the only person that you're hurting is yourself. How are you hurting the other person by not forgiving them? How? You're only hurting yourself. It's like facing a wall and you keep running into that wall, and you're only hurting yourself. And that hurt is going to boil into bitterness. It's going to just fester into bitterness, and then you want to seek revenge. And we know that revenge is not our to seek. God will vindicate us. God will do the judging. God will do the vindicating. That is not ours to, you know, dirty our hands with. And so that's what I learned. You know, I was only hurting myself by not forgiving. And then God started working on my heart, you know, I started looking at his sins less and started looking at myself more. I'm not perfect. We are all sinners. There's plenty of stuff that I've done that I want my Father's forgiveness. I need to be forgiven for the stuff that I've done. And just because we forgive, and it's a process, it's an everyday thing. It's not just once a day. It's all throughout the day. When you have those thoughts trying to creep back in, you say, like Lisa said, Father, I forgive because you have forgiven me. The same grace and mercy that you've extended me, I will extend that to them, to others.
Amen. And
why? I mean, if I deserve that, why don't they? Why can't they deserve the same thing? So it's
Could I chime in?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, Lisa, I'm glad you mentioned Luke 23:34, because I think it was early in my stand, I came across that piece of scripture, and it nailed me really hard in the heart. And, you know, as soon as I read that scripture, I pictured Jesus on the cross in his mm-hmm. agony and saying that, you know, and in all his grace and mercy, he's saying that. And it was almost instant for me that I forgave my wife right there. And, you know, I don't know, like there is something else. I mean, there is a woman within our church that took her side and sort of indulged her in her own angst towards me, and I really took offense to that. It took a real long time for me to work through that and to actually forgive her as well. So, but I will mention this. With that scripture alone, it convicted me to go over in my mind of all the people that I could think of I offended mm-hmm. or took offense to
mm-hmm.
and had conversations with them. I asked for forgiveness, and I gave forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a clean heart.
Yeah, and that, you know, that scripture that we pray over our spouses, you know, remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, that's the same prayer that we have to pray over ourselves. The Satan wants nothing more than to harden our hearts to God, when what God is trying to do is soften it to him and allow him to do what he needs to do in our heart to truly mold us and create us in his image.
For sure. I kind of think, too, that in this way, as a stander, and if you look at a stander and then your prodigal, Satan's working both ends. He's working on us, and he's working on them, you know. And that's his end game. He wants to defeat us. He wants to take our marriages as his trophy. And, you know, just praying. Like, I ask God daily to, you know, if I have a stony heart, to show me mm-hmm. how to turn it to a heart of flesh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I think is very critical for a stander. I think in some way, like, I don't think we can achieve a complete pureness, but, like, I seem to think that we can get as close as we can actually get. And just be right in God, right?
Yeah, and another thing, too, that I see a lot of is, you know, a lot of, and this had, you know, this was me in the beginning, too. We want to play the victim role, like, they hurt me, but they're hurting, and they may not show it to you, you may not see it, but they're more than likely hurting just the same as you are, if not even more.
Yep.
And another thing is, just because this is a choice. You're choosing to forgive. Just because you're forgiving them doesn't mean you are justifying or that what they did was right.
Right.
But you're forgiving them. You're forgiving them because you cannot hold on to that hurt. You cannot hold on to that bitterness, to that anger. Because like I said again, the only person that you're hurting in the end the most is yourself. And I don't want to be in that. And my prayer for you who asked this question is that, you know, the Lord really, really, you know, open up your heart to forgive, you know, whoever has hurt you, whether, you know, your spouse or a friend or a family member, because that torture, that pain that you may be feeling, I don't wish that upon anybody. That is a horrible pain, and that's my prayer for you, that, you know, God really, really soften your heart and just that you can truly forgive from the heart. Anybody else have anything else or a question?
I have a question. I have a question. Recently, I've been reading some posts, like Facebook posts, in standard communities, and some are starting to say that divorce is a sin. Is that true?
I think we had a conversation about this between this weekend.
So we have probably two trains of thought here. I personally do not see anywhere in the Word of God where it says divorce is a sin. I have read that adultery is a sin. I can see a hard heart being a sin, unforgiveness, but I have not seen that divorce was a sin. What I did see was that God said he hates divorce. He also said that he allowed Moses to give them divorce because of the hardness of their heart. He did not say that, why would God give us something and tempt us with it? Because he does not tempt us with something that is going to be a sin. He would not have allowed Moses to give the children divorce if it was a sin. Now, that's my interpretation of the word. Doesn't make it right, but that's why I feel the way that I feel. So someone else who believes it's a sin, you can give your a viewpoint.
Well, I think that was their train of thought, because the decree of divorce was brought by Moses, correct? And it was for the hard-hearted, and to be hard-hearted is sinful in nature, isn't it? So wouldn't it make divorce sinful?
The act of divorce is treacherous. It says that when it talks about divorce, there's a scripture I'm remembering right now. I think it might have been the one we read earlier, that you behave treacherously. I have read that it's like, did this say it was like murder? Because I know murder is a sin. Well, killing is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Murder was not considered a sin. Because, you know, there was a lot of killing going on, or murdering, if you will, in the Bible days. There were wars always taking place.
Yeah, because a lot of standards seem to think, well, they say that divorce is violence towards the soul, right? Or the spirit.
They said it was equivalent, I think, to wearing a murder stain, a victim's murder stain coat, or a coat of a murder stain victim. A stained coat, a blood stained coat of a murder victim. That's what it said.
I have a question. I'm in process.
Oh, your phone's breaking up
right now, and it was a long time. I'm in the process of being restored, and I had been standing for like 16 months, but my problem is now is, yeah, I'm happy and rejoicing because my marriage is being restored, but I can't detach my feelings from everybody else when I'm seeing these posts or seeing people cry out. It literally grieves my heart, and I just cry. How do you detach your emotions from that? Because I want to enjoy my restoration, but I'm hurting because there's so many people still standing, and they're hurting, and I know that pain they're going through. How do you detach that?
You know, that's a good question. And I'm going to be honest here. I've kind of been staying away from the RMM prayer wall for a while, just because I want to be, you know, I don't get me wrong, you know, I keep my brothers and sisters, you guys, you know, in my prayers, and you know, for God to, you know, I'm still on this journey, but I keep everybody in my prayers for God to just give us, you know, what he needs to give us is in this specific time to give us his strength to continue walking this journey with him. And so, but at this moment where I'm at, I need to stay away from the prayer wall, because I feel like when I see those posts, it's like a trigger. And and it pains me too, because I felt that pain. I know that the pain that they're feeling, but I can't go there. I cannot go there. So, and there's other times where I just completely bypass those posts. You know, I'll say a prayer for them, but I'll bypass the post. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I don't want to lie to you. And that's what I've been doing. You know, if I see one, like this weekend, like this, it was actually 2 days ago, you know, it just spoke to my spirit. And I actually ended up reaching out to her personally via email. And what I shared with you guys tonight, the parable and the forgiveness, is what I shared with her. And she thanked me, and she said it helped her, you know, a lot. And it opened up her eyes, and she told me, I printed it, and I'm putting it on my mirror so that I can read this every day. But that's what I've been doing. I've kind of been staying off the prayer wall just because, you know, this is a journey that I'm taking, but I want to be able to enjoy this journey, you know, with Jesus. And I cannot, and I need to take my focus off, you know, this journey is my personal relationship with God, first and foremost. And, you know, we can't make it all about marriage restoration, so that's kind of like what I'm staying away from, the share wall. Like, I'll read the devotions here and there, you know, and everything, but, you know, I want to enjoy this journey. I want to be able to, you know, be at peace with me and God, and, you know, enjoy, He is my joy, and just enjoy this. But, I mean, but I also want you guys to know that I always keep you guys in prayers, everybody, because I do see that. But that's why I kind of wanted to share with this forgiveness thing, because a lot of what I have seen from in the past, you know, I just keep on seeing people exposing their spouses on this prayer wall, and I feel like they're still holding on to that unforgiveness. They haven't completely forgiven. Once they can stop looking at their spouse's sin and, you know, look at themselves, you know, I think that's where that person kind of can get into forgiveness when they can, you know. So that's just what I've been doing. Lisa, I don't know about you.
Pretty much the same thing. Yeah, pretty much the same thing, Sophia. But I did go and look up, as you were talking, I was looking at the word in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I guess maybe starting around the 11th verse. But if you take some time and look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 11, right now you are in a position of wanting to enjoy what the Lord has done, and that's perfectly fine. But at some point, when God does restore, then it says that we are ambassadors for Christ, and so God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So once God restores you, it's like that pay it forward, that you have, as part of the ministry of reconciliation, to pay that forward and to share Jesus with someone else. And that may mean not necessarily reading the post, but coming on there and just sharing as much as God will allow you to share Christ. You know, in other words, little bits here and there regarding your restoration. Like, when you're ready, we would love for you to come on and share your testimony here in this forum. Right now, the share wall is probably going to be more of just don't read the post, but you can see the little names and just call out their names before God. Yeah, call out their names.
Amen. Okay, thank you.
I've enjoyed our time together tonight. I appreciate everybody participating. And I think as they say at church, if all hearts and minds are clear, we're going to go ahead and give the closing prayer, and hopefully we'll come back next week and do this a little bit more. Is anything else anybody else had? I don't want to cut anybody off if you have something really pressing in your spirit.
My name is Keisha, and I just really wanted to say I'm so happy that I found this on the prayer wall, because I too seem to sometimes avoid the prayer wall just because of what you guys were just talking about. But this is my second call, and I was on last week, which was that lady that was praying at the end. Oh my God. That, I mean, I lost.
Did you go up in the spirit?
Oh, I wanted to, like, call, I don't know, and just say, who was that and where is she?
Okay, so the lady who prayed at the end is a very good, she's the lady that God put into my life when I first moved back to Arizona. I moved back on June 14th, and the following weekend, she was in my life, and she has spoken life into me, into my marriage, even into my daughter. And I knew she's a highly anointed woman of God, and she is a seer. And she, I will say that she has a call on Fridays. If you want to get a pen and piece of paper, I will give you the call information right now.
I'm ready.
I will testify that I was on last Friday. That was my first phone call, and
mine too.
You can on the call that Lisa's going to give you right now. That her friend leads on Fridays. I was on last week's call, and I will tell you that you can feel the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I didn't know how to get up off the floor after we hung up, so I don't want to be too long, but I just wanted to say, because I usually don't, like I said, this is my second call on Thursdays, and I am, you know, I've been with RMM for a few years now, and just never really connected, and to hear live voices, it really just it refreshes my stand at this point. So I really appreciate you guys. And I'm ready to take her information.
All right. So this is her. She has a call on Fridays. It's called Friday Flow. People come on, they sing, they give a praise report, they may testify, they have prayer requests. And then after about 20 minutes or so, she usually has someone that comes on and speaks, and they may give a word. So anything may happen on the calls. She's definitely vocal on the call, and if you ask her for prayer and give her your name, she will definitely lift you up.
Yes, she will.
She's been lifting up Sophia in prayer this week, and so her name is Prophetess Trigg. She does go by the title of Prophetess, and the things that she has spoken to me have come to pass. So, pretty much the way she said they would come to pass. The number for the prayer call is 712-770-5505, and the PIN number is 251-862-459-pound. The call takes place at 7 p.m. Pacific time, which we're in Arizona. So keep in mind that's 7 p.m. Arizona time. So when you change daylight savings time, we don't change. So just keep in mind it's Arizona, 7 p.m. and on Fridays. So that's the information. I'll say it again, 712-770-5505. The PIN is 251-862-459-POUND.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
If that's 7 p.m. Pacific time and I'm Eastern, y'all are...
That'd be 10 p.m. for you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 10 p.m. Eastern. When daylight savings time happens, it'll be 9 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
Lisa?
Yes.
When she was on last Thursday, I noticed something about her prayer that is different from any other prayer that I've heard. She spoke about having an expectation for prayers to be answered.
Now,
I looked that up, and it took me to Psalm 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
And so can we pray with the expectation that it's going to be answered?
Of course.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. That's when you pray that you're, yes, yes.
You got Sophia round up there now.
I'm like, yes.
I don't want to sound like a dummy, but like I've just never heard that in prayer before. So
yeah.
Well, you might hear it again tonight because I'm going to close us out in prayer. So I tend to be a little passionate like she is. I'm just trying to bring myself in. But, yes, we pray with the expectation that God is going to do that thing. But we also, like we said earlier tonight, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done.
Right.
Now, sometimes if you know it's God's will, then you stand in agreement with the word of God. Like in Amos 3:3, it says, how can two walk together except they agree? Well, that too can be you and the Holy Spirit. And so God says that it is, he said in his word to remain unmarried or be reconciled. So we know it's his will for us to be reconciled in our marriage. Now, if you have some doubts concerning your particular marriage, I understand that. And that's when you go to the Lord and you ask God to make it clear to you, give you that rhema word for you and your situation. Because there are some times when people have been married more than once, and so there are some questions and doubts that come up in your mind. That's when you need God to confirm his word in you. And he will do that.
Well, actually, he's confirmed in me on several different occasions. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm standing.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, then let us go to the throne, and we'll close out in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you at this time once again to say thank you, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity to break bread with one another. We thank you, Father, for an opportunity to share your word. And God, we stand before you right now with our arms, our hands, our hearts open before you. And Lord God, we ask that you will search our hearts. If there's anything that's not pleasing in your sight, Lord God, that you would bring it to our attention, that you would remove it, and that you would forgive us of our sins as we stand and asking that we would forgive others, Father. We ask that you would give us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within each one of us. Lord God, that we are doing thy will, God. And if we're not doing something according to your will, God, that you would make it plain to us. Don't have us, God, going day in and day out, not doing the thing that you desire for us to do. But, Lord, we want you to be first in our heart. We want you, God, to be first in our lives, first in our thoughts, first in everything we do, Father. God, we say thank you on tonight. We thank you, God, and we decree and we declare on tonight that restorations are going to be taking place, Father. Before the close of this year, Lord, we're looking for testimonies Amen. Of restoration, Jesus. We're trusting and believing you, God, that you've called us to this place, Father. Restore us unto you, Father. Reconcile us unto you. We're asking, God, that your Holy Spirit will come and dwell with us on tonight. Heal the broken places of our heart. Send forth your spirit on this evening, God, that we will rest well on this evening, God. Say to the Lord, rebuke you, and we decree, Lord, and we ask that you will just remove the hand of the enemy. The enemy has no legal right, God, for we have submitted ourselves unto you. And you said in your word that if we submit unto you, that the devil, he must flee. And so, God, tonight Amen. We submit unto you, and we come against every rebellious spirit that may be trying to tempt us. But, Lord God, we ask that we want to have a clean, a gentle spirit, God. You said that a woman who has a gentle and a quiet spirit is precious in your sight. So, Father, we desire to be precious in your sight. We desire, God, to rest in your bosom on tonight, Father. Lord God, we ask that you will come and just dwell with us. Rest with us. God, give us dreams, God, comforting dreams on tonight. God, if there be Yes. any doubt in our minds, Lord God, that you will come and just remove all doubt. Remove any fear. Let us hold up our shield of faith on tonight. Let us hold up the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. God, give us your word. Let it come back to our remembrance when the enemy tries to rise up against us. God, that you will give us your word and we can hold on to your word like never before. And we just say once again, God, we thank you on tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this prayer line. We thank you, Father God, for all those that have joined. We ask that you will cover each and every one of them with your blood. We ask, God, that you will build up a thorn, a hedge of protection around the husbands and the wives that are wandering out in the wilderness, God, that you will open up their eyes to your will. Open up their eyes to your word, God. Let them hear, hallelujah, God, the cry of the children, God, that's desiring for their parents to come home. We ask, God, that you will open up their ears, open up their eyes, oh, God, tonight to your will, Father God, and that you will forgive them on tonight, God, and bring them in, restore them unto you. Father, we say thank you. Once again, we have an attitude of gratitude, God. We're thankful for all that you've already done in our lives. We thank you for the jobs that you've blessed us with. We're thanking you for protection. We're thanking you, Father God, for how you have rebuked the devourer for our sake, God. We thank you for being a wise counselor to us, God. We thank you on tonight for protection, how you keep the enemy away from us each and every day. And, Father, if there's anything, once again, that you desire of us to do, that you just make it plain to us and let us come humbly before you, that we will seek to do your will. This we trust and believe, and we seal it in the name of Jesus. Amen, and go forth in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Have a good
night.
All right,
guys. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.